So I had childhood asthma growing up, and it was to the extent that I would get pneumonia just about every year from age 7 to age 11. Many a Christmas was spent in the ER and with fevers and all these other things. And it really doesn't affect me much now, other than when I'm at very high altitude, like when I'm over 10,000 feet. So I'm more comfortable with Twin Sisters than Long's Peak, even though that can be tough for me as well. I went to Twin Sisters a few years ago. In fact, it was my 42nd birthday. Me and some clergy pals, we went. It was clergy conference, and we were hiking around, and you know, I was starting to feel winded, and I said, oh, I'm 42 today, and maybe this is my last birthday. However, looking at the views are just stunning. You can see Long's Peak. You look around, you look at the abyss that's below you. You look and see God's creation. It reminded me of Gregory of Nyssa's image. Callistos Ware writes, Gregory likens man's encounter with God to the experience of someone walking over the mountains in the mist. He takes a step forward and suddenly finds that he is on the edge of a precipice with no solid ground beneath his feet, but only a bottomless abyss. God is mystery. We might find ourselves thinking we know everything there is to know. We know the Creed, both Nicene and Apostles. And if you really want to get serious about the Trinity, look at the Athanasian Creed. If you get bored with my sermon, look it up right now, the Athanasian Creed. It's about this long, and it tells you everything you need to know about the Trinity. However, there is still mystery attached. We are still on a precipice of unknowing when we deal with the nature of God. Today, as you may have figured out, is Trinity Sunday. When we speak of God in three persons, the doctrine of the Trinity reveals two things that are paradoxically true at the same time. One, that God is unknowable. God is unknowable. But two, that God is quite knowable. These things are true at the same time. First, God is unknowable. Now that sounds foreign to the Christian faith. But look at the experience of Isaiah when he is in the throne room of God. What does he say? Very little. Actually, the only thing that comes to his mind is, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. He sees the seraphim. The seraphim. These are the great six-winged creatures who have one vocation in life, only one, and that is the worship of God. That is all they do. And what is their song? Holy, holy, holy. Now, when the scriptures want to emphasize something, they repeat it three times. None of the attributes of God are repeated three times except for this one. God is love. God is good. God is gracious. God is full of compassion. These are all biblical themes. But only one is repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. God is in a different category of being. God is unknowable. God dwells, in the words of the medieval ancient writer, in the cloud of unknowing. Greek patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople says, to perceive God as a consuming fire, and consequently to admit our innate inability to comprehend the divine nature, is at the same time to underline our utter speechlessness and complete silence as finite human beings before the Creator of all beings and all things. We are unable to define God intellectually, and we are unable even to describe God adequately. To even get started in talking about the Trinity, we must remember that God is unknowable. And yet, at the same time, God is very knowable. He reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the Gospels, when Jesus addresses God, with the exception of one time, he uses a very important and poignant term, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic term for daddy. When we say Father or Abba, we are saying something profound about God. We are saying that the God who is beyond our comprehension is a loving Father. Sometimes it's hard for us to let that sink in. We hear it and we know that it is familiar, but often we don't feel it at our deepest level. God is our Father who loves us. Perhaps we've been disappointed by earthly parents or others in authority. Wesley Nelson, himself a pastor, wrote about a profound hurt in childhood inflicted by his parents. He was a very sensitive boy who often cried. He writes this: "One day we were out in front of our farmhouse when I suddenly realized that my mother had left. She probably just went into the house, but as soon as I missed her, I began, as usual, to scream for her. My father had grown weary of this endless crying and had begun to chide me for it. This time, he said, 'Mother is gone. She's tired of you yelling. She's left for good. She'll never be back.' The fact is, my mother did not come back to me. I am sure she must have come back and taken me in her arms and comforted me as she always had done before. But that act was blotted from my memory. What my father had said made such an impression on me that I had to make it come true. I know, of course, that she continued to care for me. But for me, the emotional ties were broken, and her love and care were no longer even a memory to me. For 50 years, I cried for her." Scott McKnight comments, "The story takes a psychologist to unravel, but this much I can understand. Wesley's perception of God as a loving Abba was distorted by some cruel words from his father and some insensitive moments from his mother. If being formed in Christ means we are to love God, that formation can only begin if we are open to receive Abba's unconditional love for us. Whatever distortion you might have in your perception of God, whether that be from a parent or an authority figure, let God be your Father like no one else can. Let him love you as only a perfect Father can love you. He is very knowable." In the Father, God is knowable. In the Son, God is knowable. In Christ is God who is self-giving. I read something recently from Stephen Freeman's blog. He points out that in Revelation 13, there is a very interesting image of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Think about that a little bit. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Sometimes we think that humanity's fall put God in some kind of uproar. What am I going to do now? How am I going to save these people? And we see the cross as somehow an afterthought. I know. I'll go and I'll die for them. But think about John's words in Revelation. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. The cross is a revelation of God's nature. The cross is an eternal revelation of God's very nature. Self-giving, sacrificial, would die for us whether we had sinned or not. Jesus, who stretched out his arms of love on the cross, that all would come within the reach of his saving embrace. This is the God who loves the world and who gave. In the Holy Spirit, God is knowable. He is the very present help, the advocate, the one who is with us. Have you ever thought of the word advocate? An advocate is someone that stays with you while you're in court, a counselor, a paraclete, an advocate, someone who is always on your side, someone who is always there to comfort. I love this prayer by St. Simeon, who wrote about the 9th century. Come to light, come life eternal, come hidden mystery, come treasure without name, come reality beyond all words, come person beyond all understanding, come rejoicing that knows no evening, come alone to the alone. Come, for you are yourself the desire that is within me. Come, my breath of life. Come, the consolation of my humble soul. Come, my joy, my glory, my endless delight. Come, Holy Spirit. Vene Sancte Spiritu. Come, Holy Spirit. So God is unknowable, but actually quite very noble. Look at the front of your bulletin. This is one of my favorite icons I've shared with you before. This is a Russian icon from about the 14th century. And this is actually a depiction of the three angels who visit Abraham in the book of Genesis. However, Rublev sees them as a picture of the Trinity. And so in Eastern Orthodox icons, Jesus is always depicted there with kind of a purplish, it looks kind of brown, a purplish brown robe. He's the one in the center. And if you look very closely, it's as if there is a chalice that envelops the second person. You see it? You have to use your mind's eye a little bit. So he's pointing to the chalice on the table, but there's also a chalice that surrounds him. The icon is actually an invitation. It's an invitation to partake in a fellowship that is beyond our comprehension, that it's beyond anything we could ask or imagine, to sit at the table with God the Almighty. An invitation to sit, to eat, to linger, to talk, unworthy as we are. An invitation to drink true wine, the delight of our beloved, the God who is above, the God who is with, the God who is within. So God is unknowable, complete, utter mystery. But he is also very knowable. And he reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.